people traveled from all over Kalamar to holiday on Rahul Yon. And with tourists came the vultures and parasites who preyed on them. She was directed to a landing platform on a high tower on one of the outer islands. There were scores of gracefully wrought landing pads and bays around the tower, and exterior elevators whisked up and down its uneven sides. Even the city's air and spaceport was beautiful. As the Peacemaker settled, Lannery prepared herself for what was to come. Her mission started here. "Keep an eye on the ship," she said to the droid. It grumbled and clicked. "Yes, I'll have my comlink." She felt the sliver of tech in her lapel just to make sure. Then she stood within the cabin and smoothed down her clothing, checking that her sword was strapped correctly to her thigh, ran fingers through her hair. She used her metal Jedi star to fix her cape around her neck. For now, there was no need to hide. She was surprised to realize that she was nervous. Somewhere at the end of this mission, her brother waited. Like any visitor who had landed on one of the spacecraft platforms, Lannery was directed through to a large room with lines of interview pods. One entire side was a window offering staggering views across Rahul Yon and the glimmering sea beyond, and the opposite wall was splayed with extravagant artwork that labeled it the Welcome Hall. But its real purpose was obvious. Kalamar's security services were efficient and discreet, and even a Jedi was not simply waved through. She respected that. And by the time she was ushered from her interview pod, the three officers inside also respected her privacy. A subtle push, a gentle word. Perhaps in a few days' time they might start to question their decisions to let her in so lightly, although by then she would be long gone. But by the time she had traveled on three elevators down through the tower to ground level, Lannery began to suspect that she was being followed. She paused in the vast lobby of the port tower, bought a drink from a vendor droid, and melted into the shadows beneath a wide, low tree. There were tables and chairs there, and a massively fat Sabrak woman was harvesting large insects from the tree's lower canopy, flash-frying them and selling them to eager customers. Lannery decided she was not hungry. As she drank, she watched the bank of elevators she had just left. Her sense of being followed was strong, but though she waited for a while, none of those exiting the elevators seemed to be looking for her. Strange. She was certain it was not one of the customs officers.
"Lady, you're a fine one," a voice said.
A tall, robed figure had approached, and she was annoyed with herself for not noticing. "I'm drinking," she said.
"So drink with me."
"No, thanks."
"Come on, Ranger. You're young. I'm almost 200 years old. Got experience. Got three bottles of Che wine in my rooms. Almost as old as me, just waiting for a special occasion."
She rested her hand on her sword's haft. The Force was calm and settled, and the weapon was part of her. Would losing your life constitute a special occasion? He stared at her from beneath his hood, amused, uncertain. Then he waved a hand and turned to leave.
"Ach, Jedi. So tightly wound."
She finished her drink, then moved out across the lobby area. There were hundreds of people there, a varied mix of the many species who had spread out from Tython to colonize the system. Humans and Wookiees mingled with Twi'leks, with their prominent headtails, and red-skinned Sith. Near-human Zabrak, with their vestigial horns, walked alongside Iktochi, whose heavy horns gave them a fearsome appearance. Kalamar had been the first planet settled after Tython and its moons, and it remained the most racially mixed and diverse. It was proud of its diversity, and it was a pride well earned. Even on Tython, it was rare that so many species were seen in one place at any one time, and Lannery paused for a moment in the center of the lobby to feel the ebb and flow of so many people in transit. She paused also to try to spot any pursuer. Still nothing. She'd seen no one obviously stop when she had. And although some people looked at her as they passed by, She sensed that it was only out of interest when they recognized the Jedi star. And on occasion, perhaps even distaste. She knew well enough that some Calamar thought themselves above the Jedi. "I'm alone too often and for too long," she thought. Perhaps a subtle paranoia was a natural part of being among so many people once more. Leaving the spire's lobby, she passed a group of Dai Bendu monks chanting one of their strange, haunting ululations. A small group of travelers had settled around them, and some were swaying slowly in time with the song. Just outside the main doors, down a wide, long ramp that led to street level, a circle of feline Cathars was meditating upon an image of their god painted on the ground. The image was beautifully wrought, and their meditations had drawn several smoke snakes up from the ground to dance in a slow, hypnotic pattern. Lannery had heard of the Cathars' smoke snakes, but never seen them. Such diverse beliefs, being celebrated in such close proximity. Her immersion in the Force meant that she believed neither, but it was still pleasing to see such inclusivity. The streets outside were bustling with people, trade stalls, performance artists, religious groups, speakers, security officers, and children and adults alike pointing and chattering in delight at their surroundings. She felt almost unnoticed, and she welcomed that. But she also knew that it was an ideal environment in which to be followed, and that feeling persisted. Though she cast her Force sense around, there were so many people that her thoughts were confused. She would have to remain alert. Cloud chasers floated above, and occasionally drop ships came down to pick up passengers. But Lannery had studied maps on her ship and knew that the tavern she sought was close by. She chose to walk.
"Bet you've never seen one like me, eh? Eh?"
Trisana grinned at her over his glass of wine. His yellow eyes and blazing red skin gave him a fearsome appearance, but she perceived a gentle intelligence behind the startling exterior. "Your coloring is quite rare," Lannery said. "Rarer still for a Twi'lek, the extra Leku."
"Rarer? Oh, yeah, rarer indeed."
He stroked the third head tail that grew behind the usual two.
"At least you use the right terminology. You wouldn't believe what some people call these things."
"I probably would."
"They call me Freak."
He growled suddenly and leaned forward, baring teeth that seemed to have been filed down to points.
"A scary freak."
"You don't scare me," she said.
"Hmm."
Tree's Leku, those three long, curious tentacles growing from the back of